Long, long, long time ago, far, 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 far away. Long, long, long time ago, far, far, far away. Kiss a Wookiee, kick a droid. Fly the Falcon to an asteroid. Till the
prison. Oh. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory,
Marcus Brody.
Huh? a young Alfred Molina.
What was his character's name? Savito? Savito?
Dead. That was his character's name. Welcome to a whiptastic episode.
You've been working on that all week.
I have. The Brothers Movie Factory.
Because
we watched a certain Indiana Jones movie by the name of Raiders of the Lost Ark this week.
Whoa.
Yeah, but before we get started, I don't even think I let you say who you were yet. You're Marcus Brody.
Well, who am I next?
Who am I?
Belloc.
Belloc. Marion?
Marion.
I'm sorry, you're not as stunning as Marion.
Not even close. I'm like, if I'm like anyone, I'm the guy she's having a drinking contest with. That Eskimo.
One of the guys in the back's like, oh!
I'm Tote.
Tote? I'm the monkey.
Elila, that guy.
I'm the monkey that dies from the dates.
Bad dates.
Bad dates.
Yeah. That's what I say every time I come home from a Tinder date. Bad dates.
And just like we walk around the corner, like Gus, how is it? And you're already dead. But on this pod, well, you want to say who you are? Jeez, I'm trying to get started. I haven't said who you are.
Say it, Gus.
It's your name, and it's the only thing you have left. Out of all the movies that we quote on the show, why do I go to The Crucible?
That's becoming a weekly one too.
Crucible. Daniel Day-Lewis in The Crucible. But on this podcast, we're a podcast of the movies, by the movies, for the movies. I'd say that we are the movies. Would you concur?
Sir, yes, sir. With honors.
On this pod, what we do here is we take a movie every week, we watch that movie, we then talk about what's good about it, what's bad about it, what works, what doesn't. We then submit that movie to the factory. That is where we take the film we just watched and we recast some of the actors and actresses involved. We also look at it in a world with a new director, possibly new music. But with this movie,
how do we do all that with a film that's perfect?
I know, because it is really good. This movie is great. If you have never seen Indiana Jones, what are you waiting for? I've talked to people before, I don't know about you, that have been like, they're like, I don't like Indiana Jones. I'm like, why? And they're like, oh, that I saw the one, and the one was just not good. I was like, which one? They're like, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I'm like, well, there's your sign.
There's your sign. That's
the issue. I mean, I love Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Kingdom
Crystal
of the Crystal
Skull.
Crystal Skull.
But I've met many of people who have not seen any Indiana Jones films and refuse to. For
all the, they just don't like Harrison Ford pointing.
They just don't like handsome men, I guess.
They don't like Harrison Ford being one of the greatest characters of all time.
Yeah, I guess not. He has that moniker for three characters. Han Solo, Indiana Jones,
and the Fugitive.
And I was going to say the President of the United States and Air Force
One. He's great. We should watch that sometime, yeah. Air Force One, because that's a damn good movie.
He could still play president.
Hell yeah. It'd be more fitting now. He's older, and he's busy crashing planes and helicopters, he's fine.
Harder than ever.
Yeah. This movie, I love Indiana Jones, and I think I have since I was a young boy. I know you have as well, to the point where when we were growing up and you were, I think it was when you were in your, you were in high school, you weren't in college yet, but you were considering making a Indiana Jones fan film.
I had a Facebook memory today, ironically, or coincidentally, rather, from the guy I was going to have be my Indiana Jones from high school. And he's like, the memory was like from like 9 years ago. It says, I'm ready for that script anytime.
Did you ever write that script? What was it?
It had so many different titles. I think I ended up Indiana Jones and the... Yep. Chamber. The Chamber.
Seabricks.
Chamber
of Seabricks. Why can't I talk tonight? I said Seabricks.
Seabreeze. The Chamber of the Black Stone, I think is what it was called.
You said Seabreeze, and I went to Family Guy immediately. Seabreeze. Because I can do it with everything.
I went to E.T. I don't know why. I do know why. There's a part where Elliot and his older brother are in the garage, and they find one of their dad's old shirts, and they like smell it, and they're like, Old Spice. Seabreeze.
See, I thought of there's an episode where Carter Pewter Schmidt, Lois's dad, has a racing dog named Seabreeze, and Brian has sex with it and gets it pregnant, so it can't race anymore. And so
Indiana Carter, Jones.
Yeah. Anyways, here we are. There it is. Let's cast Indiana Jones, but as a young Jeff Goldblum.
Whoa.
Yeah. He just wouldn't talk when he's Indiana Jones, but when he's Professor Jones, Dr. Jones,
yes.
See, the Ark holds the commandments.
The Ark holds the, there it is.
You see, I dropped this little droplet of water on your hand, and your face will melt.
See, you got the Ark of the Covenant, and you're taking it. You're starting wars. You're selling it.
What if our glass table just shattered?
I think the natural instinct of this glass table shattered would be like, da 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 da.
Stone Cold Steve, a young Stone Cold, a young Stone Cold as Indiana Jones.
Whoa.
But let's go ahead and get started into this film, because it is a great film, and it's one of the best introductions to a character and maybe any piece of cinema. It's a great introduction.
Oh yeah. I think the only thing that could outdo it is the introduction to Weird Al and UHF.
Yeah, I thought honestly through the entire beginning I was thinking of that. But I was even thinking like some of your biggest movies ever, and I was like Star Wars, like the introduction to Luke. It's like Luke.
What about the introduction like Darth Vader?
That's
pretty good.
He walks in. He just kind of looks at dead bodies and walks.
That's one of my favorite intros to a character. I'm pretty partial to old
Alfred Molina.
His intro in this movie. Now Jack Sparrow and old Pirates.
He
of Caribbean.
Does have a really great one
that
too.
Intro,
but this is. I'll say this because Jack Sparrow one is amazing. But his intro, his like primary intro, the one you're thinking of is when he's sailing in and he looks like he's a real epic, and then it kind of zooms out and shows that he's on a sinking ship. But it like really shows like what type of character Jack Sparrow is. Indiana Jones, this gives you like, I think it was, I paused it. I think it was about 10 minutes of like intro that you're getting to know Indiana Jones as this archaeologist. And then as soon as the end's over, he's like back to Dr. Jones, and you're like, oh, here he is.
It's almost like, whoa, it's abrupt.
But you get like a feel for all his like character staples in that first little bit.
It's good because they're out on the, where are they at? South America. They're doing some expedition. You got like three characters just adventuring through.
One guy with a donkey. Other guy.
Just going through the woods. They're following this mysterious man.
One Doc Ock.
Yeah. Alfred Molina.
Molina? Is his first picture?
His first movie. And you can tell they're following this man reluctantly.
Mm-hmm.
And
very worried.
They
even
find a dart. They take a little lick. Poison still fresh. 3 days. But you kind of get the sense that, they're getting led to their doom by this guy. So the other gentleman, he pulls out his gun, he's gonna kill.
Well, the one guy runs away.
Does he? Oh yeah, that's right.
The one guy at the very beginning, the guy with the donkey, runs away. And
what an ass.
Yeah. And the other guy's gonna kill him.
Yeah, so he's gonna shoot their leader there, and this is the iconic intro you're talking about.
Dun.
Yeah, he hears the gun cock, and he turns and cracks that whip. Boom, 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 boom.
Steps right into camera view. Well, the guy that shoots, mm-hmm. or tries to shoot him, and runs away. Right. And old Indiana steps in the frame with Alfred Molina with him, and they're good to go.
Iconic.
It's very iconic.
I mentioned the UHF intro. Same parody. It's the same thing, but when he whips his arm completely
yeah.
off.
Yeah. And it's the wrong arm that falls off, if I recall. He like whips his right arm, and his left arm falls to the ground.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, so you just get real quick like a feel of like who this character is. Like they're all very nervous and reluctant. He doesn't seem like it. He's very confident yeah. and he's also very capable.
Been doing this for a long time.
Yeah. And he finally finds his way to that cave, and I like that all about that intro because he walks up and he says like I forget the name, the specific name he says, but he says a name, and Alfred Molina character says a friend of yours, and he says no, a competitor. He was good. He was very good.
Yeah.
And he goes in because like that's where he died. No one ever saw him again.
Right.
Alfred Molina says like no one's ever come out of there alive.
Didn't he get killed by the spears that come out
yeah,
of the wall?
Later on they go in, they find those.
That's what's
all
fun
the booby
about.
Traps.
Yeah, that's what's fun about this movie is like it's. It's a play on those 1930s serial television shows from back in the day, and like high adventure, stuff like that. So, yeah, they're deep exploration shows, and like I said, this is playing off that, so you got a lot of like booby traps, things like that.
Booby traps?
That's what I said. So send booby traps. And, yeah, they show off a lot of that here in the intro. Putting your hand to the light, these like spears shoot out, and
I was like watching that, I'm like, how?
Don't matter.
Aliens.
Aliens. go into another room, you step on the wrong floor tile, darts shoot out, you know, all the way up to the iconic
Shield Monkey Brains.
that's the next movie. The golden token.
That right there.
Yeah, here he is.
You have a nice little gilded fox in a suit in there.
That's Lieutenant Zeki's there. That's why I named him.
Okay.
It's a bust of a golden fox with a monocle.
He's watching over you.
I saw that at a Marshall's. I'm like, I don't know why, but you're coming home.
Fox McCloud up there.
Yeah.
Sir Fox McCloud.
So anyway, he's got the whole bag of sand and the golden thing, and he's like weighing it out. Like, if I take this, I got to replace it. So like, if there's a trap, it'll know the weight.
Yeah.
And it's very suspenseful, that music picking up. Masterfully done by who?
John Williams.
And
I think it also like high notes at the end too, like it's like Dee!
Yeah,
and it's just like you're like waiting
it.
Yeah.
And it's like the moment like I did it, and he turns to walk away and everything starts to fucking collapse. And he boogies out of there,
but
all
he
the
had
darts
to whip,
are shooting
yeah.
out.
Well, he had to whip across the crevasse to get over there, and
the crevasse.
And Alfred Molina's character goes across before him, but takes down the
Give
whip.
Give me the idol, I'll throw you the whip.
All right, throw me the whip.
Adios, senor.
And he leaves, and so old Indiana has to jump across the said crevasse, and that's really suspenseful because he's like barely hanging on, nothing to grab onto, and he makes it up and running out, but old Alfred Molina's been speared to death.
Adios, Abatol.
Yeah, and he picks up the golden idol, and then another quick, very famous. There's so many famous scenes in like the first 10 minutes of the movie. The Indiana Jones being chased by the giant boulder,
yes.
which has since been, you know, that's been done and done again. Maybe not like a boulder every time, but like even I was playing the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, and there's a level where I'm being chased by a giant boulder.
Yep.
You know, it's like I see that. Like I see
Iconic.
You see it throughout pop culture.
Yes.
So definitely, yeah, and the boulder chases him, and he's running, and he dives out. And
early escapes.
Can we make, like, a quick note, too? When they first come in, it always gives me the heebie-jeebies. When they first come into the cave, and, like, the tarantula's crawling on his back.
Yucko, sucko.
And Alfred Molina's like, and he just nonchalantly brushes him off, and tells Alfred Molina to come here to brush all his shit off, and he's, like, carrying all a Dagobah on his back. Like, I was like, no thanks.
Here's a movie factoid. When they were doing that scene, the spiders weren't moving, and Spielberg is like, "What's happening?" The spider wrangler is like, "Well, they're all male, you see. You gotta put a female in there, and then they'll all go crazy." And that's what happened. So they did that. They put the female spider on Alfred Molina, and they all start crawling everywhere, and Spielberg's like, all right, Alfred, look scared, look scared. He's like, I'm scared, I'm scared. He's like, couldn't move. He's just scared.
I wouldn't done shit for that. Like, I even thought about him, like, in Temple of Doom, there's a scene where they have to reach in all those bugs and shit, and it's, like, disgusting. I'm like,
that feels like fortune cookie. Like,
all of Dagobah right there. Like,
we are going to die.
But,
that's good.
No. Bad.
So, yeah, the iconic...
Blanco only here because she humping the director.
That's right. Iconic opening. We get introduced to our villain, Belloc, a competitor of Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
What's he say, like...
When Indy jumps out and gets away from that boulder, yeah, Belloc's standing there, and he takes the idol because he's being surrounded by Native Americans, mm-hmm. of sorts.
The ones that had the poison.
The Javito
fresh.
People.
3 days. Javitos.
Yeah,
that's
Javito
it.
Javito people. And he says, Indy says, they would see it differently if the Javito people knew you like I do, Belloc. And he's like, well, perhaps you could warn them if only you spoke Javitos.
I thought you were going to say it again.
Modelo?
What you do?
What you do?
You speak
what
you
do? Ocho.
Aquisuacha. Aquisuacha.
White devil, white devil.
You speak what you do?
Lucky guess.
But,
he kind of holds the idol up in the air, and they all bow, and Indy takes that moment to run, and he speaks classic what you do.
Whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah, okay. So that's another just great. He's running through the woods. These Indians are chasing him.
Please, natives.
Natives are chasing him. I guess, because I said Native American, and like even that, like Indians, Native American, like that was all.
I guess they are considered Native Americans because they're in South America.
Yeah, but even then, it's
the natives.
Natives, the Wachutu, the Javitos are chasing them, and we see our great character. He's beloved through the series, Jacques.
Start the plane, Jacques.
Yeah, Jacques is his plane driver holding that fishing pole, and I was thinking about him like. I loved it because he jumps in the water. He's swimming, and they start blowing the blow darts at him, shooting arrows at him. They're just missing, and they're like almost at point blank range. I'm like, these guys are shit. No wonder they hit that tree with a poison dart.
They're flying.
Like, he's getting. You're like three characters now. You said Han Solo. You said Indiana Jones. You said the president, Mr. President from Air Force One. All of his bad guys can't hit dick for shit.
Whoa,
they can't. True. Stormtroopers can't hit anything. I'm starting to think it's Harrison Ford.
Terrorist
points at him.
He's like, listen here. So Indy's flying off in the old airplane there. There's a snake in the plane, Jock.
Music hits.
That's his pet snake, Richie. And that introduces you to Indy's true fear. He
hates Jock. He loves snakes.
I almost said planes.
I hate snakes.
I hate Christmas. I hate it. He hates snakes. Sex noise. Anyway, then we get introduced to Indy's other profession, his other part-time job being a professor at a university.
The Neolithic period. T H L I C. Okay. He does do that.
Yeah. Like so that's what I love about Indiana Jones is it starts out he's this like great adventurer, you know, dodging death at any turn. He shoots his gun, he cracks his whip, he kills things, he gets treasure. He's a treasure hunter. It's exciting.
Raping churches, burning women.
Yeah. And then it cuts, and he's like in a suit. His hair's kind of slicked back.
Wearing
glasses. He's
Clark
teaching.
Getting it up.
Yeah. That's kind of what it is in a sense. A more realistic sense, I guess, is that's his Clark Kent.
Even Jacques kind of makes a comment that's funny. He's like, I hate shakes. I hate snakes, Jacques. I hate him. And he says, oh, come on, grow a little backbone. I'm like, you realize the shit he just went through.
Nah, he doesn't. He fucks.
He just flies the plane.
Yeah, he fishes.
He fishes, flies planes, and has a pet snake, Reggie, films apes.
Hey, he's hard ass.
Yeah, there it is.
But then we get really kicked in. We got the character introduction down, what this guy is, what he's about, who he's kind of like, and then we get thrown into the real meat and potatoes of this movie. these, what are they, FBI or something like that? They come to him because the Nazis, this is, oh, side note, this is based in the 30s,
yeah,
like World War II era.
Most of you have known that. Or well, gathered
some
it,
but... some people might not know that. So we got to talk to them like they don't know,
I guess. But anyways, yeah, Nazis are after what?
Religious artifacts.
Religious artifacts.
Hitler is obsessed with the occult.
Yeah, more specifically in this case of this movie, Ark of the Covenant. Hence the title of the movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
I almost said Oxley, but that's Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Ravenwood.
Ravenwood. Arn Ravenwood.
Arn Anderson. Yeah. So, what's really going on here is the Ark of the Covenant carried the Ten Commandments. And even in the Bible, it says, you know, who holds the Ark has the power of God. So the Nazis are trying to get a hold of this Ark so maybe they can harness the power of God to, like, win the war. And they get in touch with Indiana Jones to basically kind of stop this from happening. Really, they're looking for Professor Ravenwood because he was the guy to go to about the history of the Ark of the Covenant and this and that.
Yeah, and he does introduce that they need the Staff of Ra in order to find the Ark, and that's probably what they're looking for. Because they said there's digging sites in the Middle East.
Professor Ravenwood had this piece. So it also kind of hints at that, you know, Indiana had a thing with the professor's daughter, Marion.
Mm.
So now they're between Indiana and his friend Brody, who's the headmaster, I guess, of the university.
Like the dean, yeah.
Yeah, the dean. That's the headmaster. It was fucking Hogwarts.
At least the dean of that college, yeah. Like, it could be like the College of Anthropology, and he's the dean of that.
Yeah.
Or something of that.
So they're discussing whether he should go on in. Indiana's obviously all gung ho. He's giddy as a schoolboy.
Yeah. Whoa.
Because he gets to look for the Ark of the Covenant. It's like the ultimate treasure, and he's the ultimate treasure hunter. So
he's the ultimate treasure. Hang on to him.
So he makes his way. Where does he go? Where's Marion at? Like
somewhere in
Poland.
Somewhere cold.
Yeah, somewhere.
But that's another staple that's introduced
Nepal,
right there. Is
Nepal. That's it.
Those mountains look like nipples. Well, we can't just call it nipple. How about Nepal? Ooh, I like it. Ha, shocker! God gets it right. Yes, it's Family Guy.
Gosh.
Nepal, and we're introduced to Marion, who also has a great character introduction. She's having a good old-fashioned drinking game at her bar, and she's like 30 shots in, and Gus is like, please marry me.
Marion, marry me. Not only is she a beauty, she can drink, she's tough as nails, she owns her own bar.
Lives in Nepal.
She's tough AF.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is, like, growing up, I don't think I ever found her that attractive. But, like, I watched this movie again in the first time in, like, probably 3 or 4 years last year. And I was like, she is stunning in this movie.
Those eyes. Those beautiful eyes.
But, and she does win that drinking competition.
Handily.
She seems like she's passing out.
She's faking it.
Yeah, and then she, like, gets up and she's like, I'm fine.
She's faking it. Yeah, because everyone's, like, betting money against her, and she's, you know, betting on herself, obviously, so she's faking, like, going to pass out. But she ends up drinking that dude under the table, getting the money, kicking everyone out, the bar's closing, and there's the silhouette of old Jonesy.
We're closed.
Indiana Jones. I always knew someday he'd come walking back through my door. Hello, Marion. Kapoosh!
And punches him right in the face, and you already notice the bad blood. I love it. I love it because he wants that peace. He offers her money. She won't take it. All she wanted, you know, she was a child. She was in love. he broke her heart. So he has to leave. And he's like, I'll be back in the morning to talk it over with you. Think about it. And then he leaves. And then the Nazis come in.
We are not thirsty.
you sure sound like
good
it.
Good evening, Fraulein. they're also looking for this piece, and she's like, I don't know where it is, and they're going to torture her, you know, stick her with the old hot poker. She's like, oh, wait, I'll tell you everything. He's like, I know you will.
Yeah, Yes.
Intimidating.
And, yeah, and then old Indy comes back in, starts beating the shit out of everyone, but catches the bar on fire, unfortunately.
Whiskey.
Yeah, and the who, what's that bad guy's name?
Tote.
Tote.
Totes McGoats.
Totes McGoats. He does grab the piece that they were looking the medallion, for, but it was so hot from the fire that it burned into his hand. So he runs outside and sticks his hand in the fire way of Marv.
Wait, what did you just say? He sticks his hand in the fire.
We can't talk today.
He's got to cool off.
Chill.
In the fucking snow.
Yes, but he runs way out in the snow. He
pissed, way of Harry.
His hand's already burnt, so he's like, fuck it, I'll die. But
that really hurt my hand, and he just jumps to his death. No, that doesn't happen yet. Or ever.
But, yeah, so what she says, Marianne basically says that he can have the piece, but she's going with him.
I'm your goddamn partner.
Yeah, she's going to get whatever cut there is in it. She's coming to get some of it, too, and also to help her father, because her father's gone missing.
Do you think she also wanted to do this just because she's... still has feelings for old Jonesy there?
Obviously. Look at him. Look at that 5 o'clock shadow on that man.
It's not even 4 o'clock.
Yeah. You look at him, you're like, he hasn't shaved in weeks. It just doesn't grow any further than
stubble.
That.
It's the perfect amount.
It's scruffy looking.
Who are you calling scruffy looking?
Who's scruffy looking?
He's just perfectly rugged. This is a gentleman's film.
Gentleman's film. But yeah, so where they travel next, they go to the Middle East, and we're introduced to Marcus Zabrodi's son.
What's his name? I just went brain dead. Hold on.
I saw his name.
Salah.
Salah.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
He's got
Salah.
He's a staple of the show. He's in this one. He's in the third one, correct?
Yes.
But yeah, he's introduced as kind of like a close, basically like his interpreter for that area almost, but also a friend of his.
Cairo,
like
city of the living.
Yes.
You said Middle East, didn't you? They're not,
Egypt's
is,
Middle
is,
East.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anywho.
It's all in that area.
Yeah.
It's Middle East.
Or is it Africa? It's not.
I mean, it's part, but
anywho,
all that stuff. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you can tell they've had experiences together. They're old friends. Yeah, you're right. He's kind of like the interpreter of the land, but Salah's also a digger. He's part of the team. He's one of like the lead diggers digging for the Nazis to find the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
But they got this headpiece, the proper headpiece. The Nazis, however, start digging in a certain area, and...
got a bloody nose. Sorry, everyone.
just watch some anime.
Yeah. No, it's been happening lately.
Well, why don't you go take care of that?
Oh, no. I just need to shove one of these up my nose to get some of the blood off my hands.
why don't you go wash off? You got all your fucking pants and everything.
Yeah. You go ahead and keep talking.
You're thinking of marrying too much. So, yeah, they're taking... The Nazis are starting to dig because they might have the location of the Ark of the Covenant, because fucking Tote, he had that medallion burned into his hand, so he's got the scars to show where the location is. That's what that medallion truly is. It's like a map. It has instructions on it where to look. And there's a... what is it? Oh, shit. It's like a map room that they uncover, okay? So this map room, if you hold that medallion in the sun at a certain time of day, it'll point exactly where the Ark of the Covenant is located in Cairo. So they have the instructions of where to point it because it's burned into that dude's hand. However, they only have half of the map because he only got burned on half his hand. So the other side tells the true location of the Ark of the Covenant. So Indy and Salah have to sneak into this map room, distract some Nazis, get in there, find the true location. That's the plan. On top of that, old Indiana, Indy baby, he's with Marion. They're going through Cairo, and you kind of see like a little bit of their relationship reblooming. A little flirting here and there, and just chit-chatting as they go throughout the market. And once you know it, some bad guys are afoot, and they start chasing old Indy baby and Marion. And some craziness ensues, some great action, great chase, iconic fight scene between Indiana Jones and the sword-wielding assassin, I guess. He's very intimidating, has a deep, evil laugh, swinging this giant sword around, and it's going to be a fight. And Indiana just pulls the old gun out, shoots him dead. Great scene, funny. Wasn't supposed to happen. They were supposed to have a real fight. Indy was supposed to like whip the sword out of his hand and beat the crap out of this dude. But on the shoot, everyone got horrible food poisoning. A lot of people were like deathly ill, including Harrison Ford. He was so sick on the day that they were shooting this. They just couldn't get it right because he was so sick and he couldn't get the fight down. And I think it was Harrison Ford who asked Steven Spielberg. He's like, can we just shoot this sucker? And they ended up doing it just like that. Just like you see in the movie. That's the take they use. Anywho, things go on. Marion gets captured by the Nazis. Indy shoots what he thinks is the truck that Marion is in, and the truck capsizes but blows up, and he thinks Marion just died. Like he just killed her, and he's so upset and depressed, and he goes and does what all good people do when they're down on their luck and depressed. He goes drinking. So he's drinking, and who would show up but his old foe, Belloc. And they have like I wouldn't say a battle of wits, but they have like a staring contest. They're just talking to each other, trying to one-up each other, because that's what they've always been, is just rivals. And the Nazis have hired Belloc to be a part of their team to look for the Ark of the Covenant, just like, I guess, the Americans hired Indiana Jones. So they're you really get a good sense of what they're going for, this Ark of the Covenant. It's a transmitter. It's a radio for speaking to God. So Belloc really wants the Ark of the Covenant for that. He wants like that power for himself, not for the Nazis, not for fortune and glory, but you know, he wants to be the one to do that. But he is evil intent. And you're back.
Yeah, sorry about that. My nose looked like that scene from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Which one?
The one where the boyfriend gets sucked into the bed.
Oh, God. It did. I just looked over at you, and it was just like, gack.
Yeah, literally, like, past 3 days, I was kind of sick, and past 3 days, every day, about this time, I've gotten nosebleeds. The first time, it wasn't that bad. The second time, yesterday, it wasn't that bad. This one was the worst so far. I was like removed my gaw, and it just kept flowing. It was like releasing a dam of blood.
I know.
I was
concerned.
Yeah, like when I moved the tissue, it was like the scene from The Shining when the elevator's open.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like the scene at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark,
yes.
Which we'll get to.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's what I thought was happening when I was like cleaning all this stuff. It was either that or the beginning of, or the end, toward the end of the Poltergeist when I'm pulling my face off. But holy, yeah, where are we at? I was busy bleeding out.
I was.
Do you remember?
Yeah, no, I'm talking Belloc here. And
Belloc.
After Marion,
that bitch
is
Belloc,
is dead.
And don't talk about Marion. You're going to give me another bloody nose.
Belloc and Indy are in the bar. And he says, transmitter, it's a radio for speaking to God.
Yeah, and that's why he wants it. Mm-hmm. He wants that power. And two, he's not all about, he's, and you might have already said this, but it's almost like he doesn't care how he gets things as long as he gets them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of introduced at the first part is like, what's he say? You chose the wrong friends.
He's like, well, once again, Dr. Jones, something, something that I cannot take away.
Yeah.
I'm great at quoting.
Yes.
Something, something.
And
you fill in the blank.
Kenzie Middleton.
But, so what happens after that? So we think Marion's dead, but she's actually just captured by the Nazis. And Belloc kind of knows that she's still alive. Indy, this is when Indy and Sala go into the map room, and they find the true location of where the Ark of the Covenant is. So Sala's digging team, they start digging in the proper spot. And once again, another iconic shot. All the diggers doing their thing. You know?
Yes. And, that's how it goes.
Indy standing silhouetted, puts on the hat.
That's a great shot.
Good shit.
Yeah, but we'll get into that. Indy jumps down, and eventually Marion gets thrown down with him.
Well, hold your tits.
What are we missing?
What are we missing? It's a long movie. It is. Like two-plus hours. This
hour
is
and 55.
Great. I only want to call back to it, because we could skip it, but it's a great scene. Marion is in the one tent, Belloc's tent, and what are they doing? They're drinking. She thinks she's going to drink him under the table to escape. She hides a knife.
She's trying to seduce him. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that's when Tote comes in, does his very intimidating torture chamber weapon thing. It's very like, what the hell's going to happen? But turns out it's just a coat hanger.
Yeah.
Love it. But then they tie her up, and that's when Indy is like trying to hide. He slides into this tent, sees Marion still alive. So they're like reunited again. But anywho, Now we get to the part you were talking about. Indy goes down to the Well of the Souls, and they throw Marion down there, and then they close the lid. After, your bloody nose threw me off now. Because Sala and Indy go down there.
Yeah.
Asps, very dangerous. You go first.
Yeah, snakes down there.
Snakes.
But then he goes back up, and that's when he gets caught.
Well, yeah, they go and they find the Ark. They find it and they carry it back. Great, great music. I've been saying that throughout, but just, if you haven't heard the music from this movie, smack yourself and then go listen to it.
Yeah.
But if you have, you already know what I'm talking about. So they find the Ark of the Covenant, they bring it back up, and that's when they get found out. Now the Nazis have the Ark, and Indy is down in this pit of snakes. And Marion's thrown down, and the lid is shut. And now they got to find a way to get the fuck out of there.
Yes.
Now, how would you fare in a giant tomb of snakes?
I'd not.
Would you, if you went face to face with a cobra, like Indiana Jones does, how would you fare?
I'd probably get a bloody nose and bleed on it at this point.
It would spit venom, you would spit blood.
Yes.
And, anyway, they ultimately find a way to escape. They tip a statue, breaks through the wall. They get out of there, and the Ark is on the move with some Nazi dudes and the trucks. Indy goes to steal a plane, and there's a great fight scene between Indy and the big Nazi.
Yeah, Goldberg.
Goldberg. They have a great fight scene filled with those
spinning.
Yeah, filled with those iconic punch sounds. You know that how
those
that
iconic beating off sounds.
You know how those sounds are made. It's just taking a baseball bat to Indy's leather jacket, like they would record that,
really?
And the snapping of celery.
Good.
Yeah,
that's what getting punched feels like.
And
bats on leather and celery.
They're duking it out, and ultimately, the big Goldberg Nazi. Was that kind of ironic? Goldberg Nazi.
Goldberg Nazi.
He gets caught in the airplane propeller
We call a, what's like the...
Like an oxymoron?
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for.
He gets caught in that propeller and he gets pureed. Yucko, sucko. Ooh,
yeah. In that ninja blender.
Yeah. The ninja blender.
But yeah, so then the Nazis have basically, at that point they've...
They got the Ark. They're on the move. Indy steals a truck, and
chase.
One of the greatest chase scenes ever. He's hunting down the Ark of the Covenant. He's whipping trucks, and he's hanging on the edge of his whip, dragging along the road, the dirt road, pulling his way back up.
They're like in tanks and shit.
Yeah. Though. Well, no, that's the third one. That's later. That's the third one.
Oh, that's the third one.
Yeah, don't get him confused.
Yeah, I think.
And he's punching these Nazis out, and. Like, how fucking American is this movie?
It's pretty American.
Ultimately, the Nazis get away with the Ark, and they get away with Marion, and Indy gets a bazooka. And the Nazis and Belloc, they're carrying the Ark to, where are they going? Where are they even going?
They're going, to the pass. It was, the Pass of the Kings or something.
Yeah, that's right.
It's basically, you have to go there in order to communicate with God or, to open it up. You have to go there.
Right.
So they're on their way.
They travel by boat. I'm getting all mixed up. Holy tets.
Yeah.
They travel by boat to get there, and that's where
Marion gets captured there on the boat.
Yeah, they go together, or he rescue her, and they get saved, and the Nazis get on that boat and take it over. That's what happens. Yeah. Silly us. Because that's a great scene. Indy's all beat up, and Marion's like, well, God damn it, Indy, where doesn't it hurt? Here. And she kisses that. Here, elbow.
Kisses another that. Elbow.
Lips.
Kisses his here. Lips, and you're like, this guy fucks.
And they fuck.
No, he falls asleep while she's kissing him. So I was watching him, like, who would ever do that? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure Gus has told me multiple times this happened to him. So,
dude, what?
He falling asleep mid-kiss.
Mid-kiss, mid-thrust. Wake up, and she's just pissed. Like, whoops.
Need some information.
Excuse me. Anyway, then the Nazis invade the boat, capture Marion again. Indy dives away.
Indy dies. Jones.
The movie's over. There he is. Da, 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 da. He swims onto the submarine.
Yeah,
that's it. Great shit. And that's when they finally arrive at the whatever place you were talking about. He has a bazooka. I'm gonna blow up the arc, Renee.
Yeah, and he says he won't do it. He's bluffing because if he doesn't want to blow up the Ark, he wants to see what will happen.
It's history.
Yes.
Yeah.
And belongs in the museum. But yeah, so they basically Marion and Indy get tied up to a whole stick, and they have to listen to
just a stick.
And they have to listen to Da Vinci. That SNL skit. That's his name, Da Vinci.
We'd wheel the bass drop.
Yeah, but and they're going to open up the Ark, and they're kind of holding their ceremony deal with all the Nazis and Tote and all them, and they open it up.
The colonel and
all the...
it's beautiful.
Yeah, all the light is coming out, but then, like...
Spirits and ghosts. All these magnificent things, and the music swells.
Yeah. And Indy's very adamant. He keeps like, keep your eyes shut!
Because then those ghosts turn bad. And it to this day, it scares me. Like, when I was a kid, I couldn't watch this scene. I had to close my eyes, fast forward.
Terrifying. Like, everyone's just dying.
Yeah, today, it's still, like, it's that music. Once this, like, beautiful ghost woman turns into, like, a monster, and the music goes like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, everyone starts getting shocked with lightning and blowing up, and fucking Tote's face melts.
Yeah. What they do, they did, like, wax.
Like, they made, like, a wax face.
And then they just slowly melted it, and then they
sped it up on post, and it
looks great.
Still holds up.
Yeah.
The kernel, they did an effect where they made, almost like a rubber version of that, and they sucked the air out.
Yeah.
Like, put blood in there, and they sucked the air out, and it's
just, yeah. It's
nasty.
Like this PG movie went real PG-13 real fast.
It is PG, and like people's faces are melting.
Well, Temple of Doom was the first PG-13, correct? No?
No, none of these were. It was because of... none of these were the first PG-13 movie. It was because of Temple of Doom, because it was PG. It should have been rated R. It was like, we need something in between. So it was because of that movie and Gremlins, I think.
Gremlins.
Yeah, Gremlins pretty
Gremlins
violent.
Gremlins easy as hell.
It's PG, but it should be PG-13.
Nom, 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 nom.
Another
nom,
Spielberg nom, production. Nom, nom, nom. It's because of those movies. They're like, we need to make PG-13. And then fucking Belloc, his head blows up.
Yeah. Whoop.
That movie originally got an R rating because of that alone, the head blow up. So what they did was they put like a flame special effect over top of it. So it wasn't as, like...
violent?
Yeah, visually, like, head exploding. I mean, you can still fucking say it.
Visually head exploding.
Yep.
Yes.
Visually mind-blowing. Yeah, and it's all because they're looking. They're looking at things they shouldn't see.
Yes.
You know?
Things the immortals.
Things no mortal should see. But Indian.
Indians.
Indiana and Marion, they're good.
Injun Joe and his friend.
Because they keep their eyes shut. It's intense.
Yeah, it is.
It's intense.
And then the movie ends.
Pretty much. It all kind of wraps up. The Americans have the Ark of the Covenant. They tuck it far away.
Where is it?
Where they can't find us. and Marion and Indiana are like,
where is it?
Let's have a drink. It could be in Area 51.
No, but what do they say?
I don't know. What do they say? It's in, was it?
It's being observed by top men. Who? Top men. And then it shows the arcs being basically locked away in a vault. And it zooms out, and it's a really epic scene because it shows like the arc being put into a crate and like being wheeled, and it gets put away, and then it zooms out, and there's just tons of crates. Like, and you're like, what the fuck is in here?
Hundreds and thousands of crates that look exactly the same. Like, this will never be found again.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da,
yeah, the movie ends, and you're like, let's watch Temple of Doom.
I mean, this movie was high action, great story, great characters, masterfully created by everyone involved, not just Spielberg. He was the master of the helm here, but every person who was involved, the costumes, the set design, the cinematography, the music, the writing, just every little bit of energy that went into this movie, you could tell is made by passionate people who wanted to make something that was going to be important on cinema.
Yeah, for sure. And it is just such a fun film, and it is just really entertaining to this day. And that's what I love about movies that even like this movie, all right, it's based in the 30s, 40s. Because of that, it holds up so well because there isn't need for CGI. There isn't need for all those practical effects and the use of it being in this era. It all holds up really well. I mean, all four of the Indiana Jones movies are fun. Even Crystal Skull. Crystal Skull, you could argue, is too fun. That's the issue.
It's fun. It's, like, fun in a different way. And, like, it tripped into that territory. It's so bad, it's good. Yeah. If you ask me, a lot of people just hate
Ancient it. Aliens, the movie, if you watch it.
That's the fourth one, kids. Yeah. They're working on a fifth one.
Yeah.
It's supposed to come out in 2020. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be the last one with Spielberg and Harrison Ford and George Lucas involved heavily. And Shia, maybe. Who knows? So there, that's balls deep in the works. But, yeah, Indiana Jones, it was uber popular, made all the monies, won a few Oscars, won 4 Oscars, was nominated for even more than that. And they had a smash hit on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought, like, a 1930s serial kind of action adventure movie made in the 80s would...
It's got it all, though.
It does. Does have it all.
It's got heart. It's got drama. It's got comedy. It's got the action. Like, it's got something for it. It's got something for everyone, really.
The action, I still would say, is, like, this is one of the greatest action movies ever made. Mm-hmm. If not the greatest, it's hard to say. Phenomenal. But that's also not fair to say because it's not necessarily an action movie.
Yeah,
it's like an adventure movie. Like when I think action movie, I think some like Die Hard or like Terminator, something like that. Predator. But yes, I think what stands out to me the most of this movie is the music for sure, the iconic look of Indiana Jones, and that opening scene. Indiana Jones went on for many other adventures. Temple of Doom, a few years later after that. It's actually a prequel.
Which always threw me off because I'm like, where's Marion?
Yeah. And then the third one, which takes place like 5 years after this one, something like that. And that's my personal favorite, the third one, Last Crusade.
I mean, it's good.
I love the relationship between Indiana and his father and the quest for the Grail.
The quest for the Grail.
Quest for the Grail's not archaeology. It's a race against evil. The Nazis get a hold of it, the armies of darkness will march all over the face of the earth. I think I did that same thing last week.
I think you did too.
Hey.
You did a lot of quotes from Sean Connery though.
Shakespeare. But yeah, and the quest for the Grail is the quest for the Father, which I really like the third one a lot. But this is a close second. Raiders, phenomenal.
Well, you mentioned that they are working on a fifth one.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting and what we have the pleasure to do here is kind of think about what would happen. You said it's the last one for old Harrison Ford and Spielberg and company. And what we have the privilege to do here is figure out what would it look like if we were making this movie today, a remake, and Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg were not involved. What would we do in this case? So
in this case, we'd go to hell for thinking that.
Well, with that being said, let's submit this movie to the factory. In this portion of the show, this is where we take the movie we just watched and we submit it to our movie factory. This is where we take that film, we change the director to modern booking, change the composer to modern booking, and we look at the modern day actors and actresses working in Hollywood today, and we place them in some of the most important roles in the film. So for today's, I'm going to say we're going to do our director. We're going to change up the director for Indiana Jones. We're going to change up the composer, sadly, for Indiana Jones. And then we're going to cast a new Indy, a new Marion, a new Belloc, and a new Sala.
Okay.
All right. You ready to go?
I suppose.
Who got directing this film?
Well, tough. Because just like you said with the music, like, How could we recast the music? How could you recast Steven Spielberg? Because this is one of his best films, and he is one of the best filmmakers to ever live. So it's like, how do you? It's like asking Da Vinci to change the Mona Lisa, something like that. But I'm gonna go with my boy Chris Nolan. I know I've brought him in here before. I just love his take on action movies. The realistic grit he puts into his action scenes. He's also an accomplished director, obviously. But when I think of why I want him for Indiana Jones, I look towards Inception and the music in the action in that movie, as well as Dunkirk, the way he handles.
Heading back to Dunkirk.
Yeah, the way he handles just that era, that World War II era, how he captured it, and a lot of the realistic action that went into that. But just his films, his library in general. I'd like to see him tackle this era as well. I mean, he's done action movies throughout, but he's hit sci-fi. He's hit interstellar space. I mean,
True. My pick is a little different because he hasn't been a working director in some years. And there's only so many ways this movie could go, and he could possibly take it way off the rails.
Steve Odekirk.
So with this movie, though, I'm going to take it to someone that was involved in this film, and this film could be construed as their baby, and that is George Lucas.
Get the fuck out.
I mean, George Lucas was the one. He came up with the idea, correct?
Yeah.
He was the one that came up with the idea. He was a producer on all four of the movies. Now, granted, he has had some bad ideas, and he's prone to them as of late. However, he's also spawned some of the greatest concepts of all time. Now, people always say, you know, oh, the best movies in Star Wars are the ones he was least involved in, and I beg to differ. I mean, New Hope is my favorite one, and that's theoretically the one he was most involved in, other than the prequels. So I think that he has an eye for cinema. He's a good director. I mean, you couldn't argue that he didn't direct the movies properly. It's more he doesn't write well. He doesn't put together great screenplays.
I don't even know if his direction's that good, though.
Have you ever watched, like, American Graffiti?
Have you ever... Well, that was back then. This is today.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Apparently,
he directs
Hayden,
like he doesn't care.
Speaking
anymore.
Of Hayden Christensen...
I was about to stab it in, like, that's
directing. He's in a new movie called Little Italy, and it's supposed to be really good, apparently. Like, he's supposed to be great in it.
That's today.
I want to watch it now because I'm like, Hayden Christensen is good in something now. Resurgence.
Yeah, no, this is my argument against that. George Lucas, yeah, you're like, American Graffiti, New Hope. Like, these movies were made 40 years ago.
So? This movie was made 40 years ago.
But this is being made today. So you would go George Lucas baby over Chris Nolan.
I mean, if you put them side by side, I would choose Chris Nolan, obviously.
Then
because
that's what we're doing.
Yeah, but George Lucas was my pick. So yeah, I'll send Chris Nolan. And with Chris Nolan, I'm just going to assume Hans Zimmer's next up.
Yep.
So Hans Zimmer obviously does all the Chris Nolan movies, basically all.
When in doubt, call Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, Dark Knight, Interstellar. I mean, need we say more? Mm. Those movies are just fantastic, and the music is a big part of those films.
I mean, but Hans Zimmer, he's also done more movie themes than I know how to count. Yeah. The Pirates of the Caribbean, Gladiator, fucking Lion King.
I almost went with James Cameron for Indiana Jones, but I was like, I don't want this movie to come out in 2035 when he's done with it, all the Avatars.
Right.
You
know, James Cameron's a name we haven't really pulled yet on this pod for anything, but I could go one day when we do a James Cameron movie, or if we bring him in here properly, I will go on a rant, a good rant, because I respect him quite a bit.
Yeah. So next we have Indy, Marion, Belloc, or Sala. You know, do Sala, Belloc, Marion, and then Marion, and then Indiana Jones.
Sure. Who you got for Sala?
So for Sala, I'm actually gonna pull in a different character from this movie that I think could play it now, and that's Alfred Molina.
Yes.
You think he'd be able to pull that off?
Why not?
Yeah.
I thought that better than mine, so go ahead.
Who'd you have?
No one. I couldn't think. I didn't know we were going to have him, so I didn't think a Sala. I like that. No, that's not fair either. Because John Rhys Davies, who plays Sala, he wasn't Middle Eastern either. He was English as well, just like Alfred Molina. Yeah, why not? I like pulling from, like, he was in this movie back in the day. Let's play him somewhere else.
So then next we have Belloc, and I'm going to argue with you and you're not allowed to use German.
Who's the German?
Christoph Waltz.
That'd be good.
That'd be great. It's too easy, though.
I didn't even go there. I didn't even think of that. I'm going with Jean Dujardin. Jean Dujardin.
I'm going with Jean Claude Van Damme.
Now, Jean Dujardin is a French actor. Belloc is French. Okay. But Jean Dujardin, he is an Oscar-winning actor from The Artist.
Okay.
Yeah, he's also in Wolf of Wall Street a little spit there. Great actor. Have you seen The Artist by chance?
I haven't. You're already going to win this because I was going to just use mine as a joke and say Steve Martin.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Now you see, Professor, there's nothing that you can possess that I cannot take.
I would like that.
Surely if I leave Germany, the Pink Panther diamond will be stolen.
That's good. But now I gotta go. Jean Dujardin, he would be very intimidating. Handsome. But intimidating. Terrible, but great.
Yes. Next, Marion.
Old Marianne. I'm going with someone who I think tough as nails. That's Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan.
I'm going to go with Alicia Yep. How do you say it? Vanderkirk?
I don't know. I don't even know who this girl is.
I got to look at the spelling, and then I'll be able to say it. Hold on. Hold your malarkey there.
Getting impatient.
Alicia Vikander. She's fucking Tomb Raider. Damn it. She's Lara Croft, the new one. She's proven herself in that kind of world, and that, I mean, to me, that's kind of Marion in a way. But I like Marion's innocence, and she's shown that in her Oscar-winning film. What was it? Was it Danish Girl? She won the Oscar for, and so she's got what it takes, and she's should be in more, and she will be in more. She's a big star.
Her name?
Alicia Vikander.
Alicia Vikander. I had Felicity Jones.
Why?
Because she's beautiful to look at.
Felicity Jones.
Maybe it's not Jones. Felicity.
Shagwell.
Yes. Rogue One.
Oh yeah, she's good. I was thinking January Jones.
No, Felicity Jones. She's a great actress. Jyn Erso in Rogue One. What else is she? Fucking Mrs. Stephen Hawking.
Yeah,
Fear of Everything, which she's fantastic in. And I think she'd be able to pull this role off very well because she's kind of, you take Mrs. Stephen Hawking and you take Jyn Erso and you got Marion.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good pull because I do love her right well.
You're like, why? I'm like, because she's beautiful.
How 2019 of you.
Marion's beautiful. Felicity Jones, very beautiful.
I don't care if she's a good actress or not. Like,
Megan Fox, put her in.
Hey, why not? Megan Fox, Shia LaBeouf.
Hey.
Hey. Is he your Indiana Jones?
Yes.
All right. I'll flip you for
it. Flip it?
Yep.
Heads.
So I'll be happy either way.
Alicia Vikander. Tails, Felicity Jones.
Lara Croft, please.
Heads, that was yours, Alicia, for candor. Is she Laura Croft, is what you said?
In the new ones.
I almost went Gal Gadot, but I decided to say our indie, Indiana Jones.
Boom, 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 bada boom.
What you got? No Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go Chris Pratt because that's where everyone's going. Yeah, everyone's speculating that he'll be the next Indiana Jones. Tough. I wanted to go someone with like the temperament of Harrison Ford, but no one else is like Harrison Ford. I wanted someone rugged, but, who did I go with? Okay. So I was between two who I really wanted. I think he's a little too old. Like when Harrison Ford played Indiana for the first time, he was 39.
Okay.
My original pick, he's 46 right now. And that was Carl Urban. Still looks good for his age, but I don't think I can go back. He's almost 50 years old, and him going with, like, you know, Alicia Vikander, she's just turned 30 or something. Yeah. You know, I mean, not that that really matters.
Like Ben Affleck, yeah.
I also was, like, in between him and Chris Pine.
Okay.
Yeah, I was
like
thinking.
Chris Pine.
Yeah.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
My nose bleed.
Yeah.
Chris. I lost half my brain cells in that nose bleed.
I was going, like, Chris Pine. Yeah, you got me doing Jesus. It. Chris Pine.
Is that who you want?
I think I'll go,
well, you'd go with a Hemsworth brother. You'd go with the forgotten Hemsworth brother.
the third one. I'll go with my gut. I'll stick with Carl Urban. Judge Dredd himself.
Carl Urban.
A Knight of Rohan.
Beach
trees.
So I probably took another pretty easy.
You went Shia LaBeouf.
No, I didn't. I didn't go Chris Pratt. I didn't even go a superhero yet, but I went with Alden Ehrenreich.
I knew you'd do it.
Solo.
Yeah,
he already played Harrison Ford once. He practiced the mannerisms. You couldn't argue that he doesn't act like his mannerisms were very Harrison Ford. Like you can't copy Harrison Ford's voice or the way he delivers lines. But all his mannerisms just
now he got a lot of hell for playing Han Solo. No fault of his own. It's just based on principle.
Yeah.
So if he plays Indiana Jones, is he gonna be crucified?
He's already taken it on full brunt. And I like Solo. Solo's a good film. It's probably my least favorite Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. But it's still fun. It's good. So I think he already has those mannerisms down. Yeah. Anyone would get hell for playing this role.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's already played it once, so it's principle to me that he has to play every Harrison Ford reboot now.
I'll throw out a gauntlet to you. We'll go with your pick. However, if in the future, if we ever do a Temple of Doom or Last Crusade or any of the other Indiana Jones movies, every time we do it, we have to pick a different guy.
Okay.
Like it can't be this guy.
Okay.
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 You want to flip for it? You want to just go with my pick?
We'll go with your pick.
Okay. Okay. Then we got our Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark remake. If it were being made today, we got it directed by Chris Nolan. Hans Zimmer is our composer. Our Sala, played by Alfred Molina. Our Belloc, played by what was his name?
Jean Dujardin.
Yeah, Jean Dujardin. Marion, played by Alicia Vikander, and our Indy, played by Alden Ehrenreich.
All right.
All right. So that was our film. We factored the hell out of that. It is your week for a question, if you have a question before we go.
So we have discussed that they're working on a new Indiana Jones movie.
Yes.
Comes out maybe next year. Who knows? They have not announced the MacGuffin. The MacGuffin, or is it? Is it MacGuffin? Is that what they call it?
I don't know.
It's
MacGuffin.
Is that what that's called?
I don't know.
The thing they're going after.
Okay.
The treasure.
That's you could have just said that. They haven't announced the treasure yet.
What would you like to see them go after? So this one, they went after the Ark of the Covenant. The second one, they're going after the sacred Shankar stones.
Yes.
And the Shankara stones. The third one, they're going after the Holy Grail. The fourth one, they're going after crystal skulls,
yes,
which are a real thing too. What thing in our history or, you know, biblical or mythological?
Goblin of Fire. the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah, what would you like to see them go after there?
So I've always I like history. It's part of my degree, college degree. But there's so many things and treasures that they could go after. And one thing that I've always liked, and so Temple of Doom, they made a treasure, right? And one of my biggest fascinations throughout all of history, like looking through history, I love Greek mythology. And I'd like them to maybe go after an artifact, make it up, but something in relation to Greek mythology, like Zeus. Like, they're going after Zeus's fucking lightning bolt or something, like, but not, like, to that extent, but something of that nature, like, based in Greek mythology, like a made-up treasure, something new.
How about, going off of that, what about, like...
Going for Poseidon's trident,
whoa,
they can control the ocean.
Oh, what about the Golden Fleece from, like, Jason the Argonauts?
Yeah, like something like that. Even like something along the lines of like someone's weapon or something, like, or, you know, something involved with like Achilles, or they're looking for the River Styx. You know, they're looking for the entryway to the underworld for like Greek mythology. Something along those lines, I would always like, because I like Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of other things, you know, you could do, but that's what I've always looked for. I mean, they've done aliens. Why not do anything else?
Yeah. They were not aliens. They were interdimensional beings.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
In the
they
space
just
between
flew
spaces.
In a fucking saucer flying saucer
shit.
At the end.
I like it. I like that pool. I would... so in like video games, there's been plenty of Indiana Jones, everything, books, television shows, video games. Two that were fascinating to me, like the Staff of Moses.
Yes.
That'd be kind of legit. I prefer Indiana Jones to go after religious artifacts. I don't know why. I just find it rather fascinating. So that would be kind of cool. And there's one where he goes to the city of Atlantis, or he's in search for Atlantis. Yeah. That'd be kind of interesting. But even beyond that, maybe, stick with like something like Excalibur,
mm-hmm.
like going after the sword and the stone.
That's what I said, like someone's weapon, mm-hmm. like something involved in that. But, yeah, you could do that.
I think I'd go with that. That, or like I'd mentioned earlier, cause I was gonna mention that too in my little spiel there, was the Golden Fleece from like Jason the Argonauts. I think it'd be interesting too. And when I was writing my own Indiana Jones movie back in the day, I was like trying to research like real tangible things, and religious artifacts. I went with the Black Stone, which in the city of Mecca,
yeah,
when they all pray, it's to the Black Stone in the center of the city of Mecca. And there's like a bunch of religious implications with all that, and like where it came from and what it's made of, and yeah.
What if he's looking for the monolith from 2001: A Space Odyssey? And then in the end of the movie, it's just the end of 2001: A Space Odyssey. And you're like, what year is it?
That'd be
he just becomes a baby at the end.
And that's how he becomes. Yeah. That's how he becomes. How do you say his name?
Indiana Jones.
No, Ansel Elgort.
Alden Ehrenreich.
Yeah, that one. The younger version.
Yeah, there's just so many good treasures that he could go after. And, I mean, with the use of aliens, they've already kind of delved into a sci-fi aspect even more so mm-hmm. than what they were already in. So it's just like it actually, like, could have been one of the more decisive films in that franchise, because it basically meant that, like, nothing was out of reach. They could make something work out of anything.
Well, for the fourth one, like, the
it was Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, the first three, they were, like, basing off of, like, 1930s serial, like, all those old, like Flash Gordon and stuff like that. They wanted it to be more like a 1950s, like, alien invasion movie, that they used to make back then. And that's what that one was, based in the 50s, and a lot of nuclear, implications as well.
Nuclear.
That's that. And maybe we'll throw that question out on the old Facebook and the old Twitter, because that's where you can find us.
Yeah, perhaps. All righty. Well, that is about does it for us. I'd say that's the end of the show. Be sure to follow us over on Twitter so you can participate in those questions and on Facebook. On Facebook, we are...
The Brothers Movie Factory.
Yes, and then on Twitter, we are at The Bros Movie Pod. You'll find us on there. We post about what we're going to be watching. We're also retweeting a lot of great other shows, so be sure to give those a listen as well. If you're listening to us now, that means you have a listening platform. However, if you're looking for a new one, you can always find us on Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes Radio, TuneIn Radio, and Spotify. So that about does it for us here.
Yeah.
You good to go?
Well, I know a lot. This was a very eventful podcast. One, we did one of the best movies ever made. But two, you also
lost a lot of blood. A little dizzy.
We forgot some very key things, staples of our podcast. We got
to
mention.
I thought you were about to an advertisement like Staples sponsored this podcast because they're going bankrupt, and here we.
Now we got to say Tobey Maguire. We got to say Spaceballs. And Jimmy Stewart didn't make an appearance.
What if Jimmy had his whip, and he said, you want the moon? Whip down that moon, break it in half, ruin the tides.
What if he had the Holy Grail?
If Jimmy had the Holy Grail, he already did. That's what he drank out of when he was a baby. You think he's dead?
He's drinking brandy.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Vertigo? That's what he hands her. Old Kim Novak. That's why she looked like the way she does. Like a cat.
She chose poorly.
Yeah, she chose the I Love Jesus mug.
It's that Family Guy.
Yeah. Like, choose wisely. He's like, this one. He's like, how did you know? He's like, well, the I Love Jesus kind of gave it away. He's like, right.
There she does. Yeah. There she be.
But here we are. All right. Well, that concludes the podcast. I hope everyone enjoyed it. Be safe out there while you're listening. And be sure to follow us out there on the social media. Until next time, brothers.
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 What do you say? It's a whipping good time.